My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Right now.
Right now.
Right now.
Right now.
I am all about the vibes. You heard John Harris. You heard Sean Pendergast with Dave Anderson earlier in the hour, in the previous hour. The vibes are at an amazing level right now, and it feels damn good. Damn good, Lopez, to do radio in the city of the AFC South champions, the AFC South division favorites, where you got the best quarterback in the division. You got one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL, one of the best coaches in the NFL, a wide receiver group that's going to take a backseat to none. Lopez, I am pumped about doing radio in this city this week, man. I cannot wait for camp.
Well, it starts this week, and you should be pumped. And, you know, I was thinking about this last night when I was piddling around with things we wanted to talk about today. It wasn't that long ago when, and I'm not proud of this, when I would, in the midst of training camp, I would go, oh, I got to go out there again. I got to see Deshaun Watson play safety. I got to see all these guys talking about things that that dodging questions and avoiding things and all that. And I'm like, it wasn't that long ago.
Not to just complain, but it was a point where training camp was a chore, Lopez.
Yes.
You're not lying about that.
Why y'all bringing up old stuff?
No. I'm glad you said that, Figgy, because I'm like, talk about life comes at you fast.
Yeah.
Like we knew this team was going to be fun to watch a year ago today, but we didn't know what we had.
Yeah.
You know, we were excited about training camp a year ago today, but we didn't know it was going to be this. Like, you know, we knew a little over a year ago about this time that there were some young players that could maybe be something. We didn't know they were something. And so that's kind of what I'm saying, Figgy. Like, it was a blink of an eye ago when it was drudgery getting out there. And now we're like popping out of bed, both feet on the ground, you know, and let's go.
They're bringing up Deshaun.
But even like past that though, Figgy, like the difference between this year and last year, even like Lopez is talking about, is optimism versus expectation.
Yeah.
Last year it was optimism. It was newness. I talked about this a lot when I come on. I'd say, man, the newness of this team, I don't know how good they're going to be. I don't know if they're going to win 6 games or if they're going to win 10 to 12 games. I came in here actually one time and said I could see how they could win 12. And they actually went out there and won. Y'all thought I was crazy.
Yeah, we did.
And they went out there and won. They won 10 in a playoff game. So how about that?
Yeah.
But that was more built on optimism, on, you know what, if I squint, I could see it. If this goes right and that goes right, we could see how it happens.
Mm-hmm.
That was where we were operating last year. The difference this year is that there is a certain expectation. There's newness to the team because you did make some additions, some key additions, and we'll talk about those later in the show. But it's not just that, man. You got an established winner here, and it happened in just 1 year. I get it, it's just been 1 year.
Yeah.
But because of the newness of last year and how young it is,
yeah.
right? It was the first-year quarterback, the first-year head coach, the first-year offensive coordinator, a rookie sensation at wide receiver that only played a certain amount of games because he got hurt, a third-year wide receiver that got paid over the offseason. Like there was a lot of Derek Stingley, who we're talking about, a lot of newness to the team last year that has established itself going into this year, where there is a juxtaposition of optimism from last year versus expectation going into this year, and I'm excited.
Last year we were, as you said, optimistic and we were hopeful. This year we're excited and we're anticipating. I mean, the difference in those words is big. Like when we are anticipating things this year. Last year we were optimistic about them. And speaking of anticipating things, you know, when we step out there on Thursday, and we're all going to be out there, and of course, as John Harris brought up, we're going to be broadcasting in the morning, broadcasting midday out there. Speaking of that, like we have, like as soon as they blow the first whistle and they get going, there are going to be stories happening right before our eyes. Like, you know, who's running where, because they have to put guys out there. You know, they're going to put, like, is it Kamari Lassiter? Where are they going to put Kenyon Green?
Who's that number two cornerback?
Who's the number two cornerback?
Who's running with the one?
Like, feel like from the first whistle, we're going to start seeing how this season is going to go.
Where's Kenyon Green?
Oh, dude, there is.
Exactly.
There is appointment viewing across the entire team.
What's the front seven look like?
No, the entire team.
Yeah.
Like, even the positions of strength, even the positions that you're excited about.
Stephon
going to
run some slot.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know who the main guys are going to be in terms of weapons and pass catchers, but you're going to even want to see what that looks like, the competition on the lower end of that position group. So you're going to be watching that. Obviously, what we talked about on the offensive line, okay, who's running at center and who's running at guard? Those are the types of things that you only really care about at training camp, because they're already established for the most part during the season until somebody gets hurt.
Yeah.
So you're watching that sort of thing. Like, that's the type of minutia that you care about in training camp, the type of thing that we're excited about. Who's running first team left guard? Who's running first team center?
Yeah.
Okay, also on the defensive line, we talked about that. We're excited about the edge rushers, but who are those guys that are getting most of the reps on the interior? You talked about the front seven. Who is the linebacker? I talked about this. The linebacker that emerges not named Azeez Al-Shaair or Christian Harris.
Yeah.
Like, we're going to be watching.
Tight end.
Tight end. Well, and
we know Dalton Schultz, but they're going to go more than one.
Well, even more than that, like, I figure that I know the hierarchy and what the tight end depth chart probably looks like.
But do you?
But I care more so about how they're going to use him. Yeah, I mean, Dalton Schultz is their main guy.
No, I know that, but who's number two?
Well, I'm assuming that it's some mixture of Cade Stover and Brevin Jordan, but I want to see what it looks like. Like, I mean, everywhere, all around the field, man. Like, again, even the positions of strength, not just the positions of weakness where you're trying to figure out.
No, not even close.
Where are they gonna go in this position? But also, even the positions of strength are gonna be exciting for us.
Yeah, and that's all gonna be right in front of us. It's all fair game. And we're going to be able to share that with you right off the bat. I mean, you mentioned everything but running back. Hell, you can't tell a lot about running backs until really 3, 4, 5 games into the regular season, much less the preseason or training camp. But you can see what they think of them.
Running back,
you can see where they put them.
Running backs are going to come up in my camp crushes later on in the show.
All right.
For sure. Mm-hmm. All right, so I say that on purpose. But you're correct about that.
Like,
let me ask you this, Lopez. What are you, and you too, Figgy, what are y'all most looking forward to? What is a thing that you are most looking forward to seeing when we get out there, when the players get out there on the field, the thing that you're most looking forward to observing? I got one thing on my mind.
I think to me, that's a layup. That's an easy one. Cornerback and how they play, particularly Kamari Lassiter, against these receivers. Like that to me is number one. And I said it during minicamp, which was just like a little snippet of what we saw. But if Kamari Lassiter is out there 2, 3, 4, 5 days into training camp and he's making plays, I mean, we could be on to something.
Yeah, I would agree as far as like on the field.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking more in the mindset, Figgy, like just the aura of it being CJ Stroud's team. I've heard this talked about on the station throughout the week so far, yeah, the last couple of days.
Yeah.
CJ Stroud going in there and the difference of, remember we were talking about the difference of last year of the newness versus now, the establishment, yeah, the difference of optimism versus expectation. CJ Stroud just going in there and having a command of the squad, not just the offense, even in the playbook and the play calls. I think he's already got, we saw that already.
Yeah.
It's the fact that you're going in there
the
with
the field general.
The field general and the established franchise quarterback. Everybody knows what time it is. There's no like real question about it. Like, hey, are they going to start the rookie? Is he going to beat out the veteran who we already know he's better than? But like, how's it going to work out? Like, you already have all of that established. And then what does it look like for CJ coming off? And I'm really curious about this from him once we hear from him. What it's been like this offseason where his life has just completely changed.
Yeah.
Like, he's just a different level of star and celebrity. Still probably, like, I don't know how much better of a football player he is necessarily. I'm sure he got better throughout the mm-hmm. season. But, like, still probably with the same level of confidence that he had last year.
Yeah.
But level of celebrity all the way different. And now going into camp, the command of the team and of the squad, I feel like that's the thing I'm most looking forward to.
No, that
to.
Is more of a kind of an abstract thing.
I feel like I'll be able to see it even before they actually start having those matchups that you're talking about.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Yeah, I think that's a good point, because remember last year, even though we knew CJ was going to start over Davis Mills, but this is the first year where this is CJ's squad. He's going in as the captain. He's the man. There's no, he got to earn it and all this other stuff. This is his squad. So I want to see how he come in. I want to see how people actually respond to him too, with this being this is his first camp as the guy. Like, hey, I'm me.
Yeah, there is an aura around this squad, and I know that term is kind of overly used these days, but I think it applies here with the Texans. There is an aura around the squad, and I think it's centered around both C.J. Stroud and D'Amico Ryans to a slightly lesser degree, but also I think it shouldn't be overlooked. Let me give you one, though, too, Lopez, on the field, since you gave the Kamari Lassiter thing.
Uh-huh.
I want to see it. We'll get in the sticks here a little bit. I want to see Titus Howard in training camp. I want to see how he matches up against, you know, how excited we are about these edge rushers, about Will Anderson, about Danielle Hunter, about Danico Autry, and even some of the depth they got at that position.
That's the best thing that could happen to him.
They brought back Jerry Hughes.
Yeah.
Like, they got dudes, like, for days now.
They signed another dude today.
They did. Yeah. From the XFL.
Yeah.
So, like, Titus Howard coming back and being switched from the wrong position to the correct position.
Yeah.
And what that looks like, that is something that I'm intrigued by, because if it doesn't look right.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, because he went over the guard and it shouldn't happen. But now he's back at the position he got paid to play at. But he also dealt with the injury.
Yeah.
If it doesn't happen, they just drafted a rookie.
Yeah.
That seems like he might be equipped to step in right away and fill that void if there is one.
And there is. And that is something that you can tell. Even from the first couple of days of training camp when they're not wearing pads, you can see how guys are moving on. Now, it's not full contact, but it's contact and it's movement and it's how they play some of their moves and stuff. And I want to get back to the C.J. Stroud thing. I'm going to illustrate it this way. I know a lot of people have done this, kind of played this game in your mind. Like, you go into a high school basketball game and you don't really know the players on the team, but you see one dude and you go, that's a dude right there. Like, just the way they walk in, the way the team gravitates to him, the way they kind of handle themselves, the way they just feel, it feels as if they're confident. Like, you can walk into a gym and say, that dude right there is one of the dudes. He's the dude. I think that's what we're talking about with C.J. Stroud, that aura. Like, we should be able to see how the players respond to him, how he handles himself, the way the coaches and he, you know, interact. Like, I think, like, that's the difference this year and last year. We're going to step onto the field and we're saying, even if we didn't know who he was, we're saying that's the dude right there.
Yeah, and it does come with the success, though. Like, it comes with proving yourself, because I do feel like that was there.
Yeah.
But it was more so, like, that was there last year.
But more so this year.
But last year was more so attributed to what was already there. Like, we'd already done the Davis Mills thing, and we figured, hey, you know, that's probably a backup quarterback.
Yeah.
And then Case Keenum, you know, in his mid-30s, we knew that wasn't the deal. So we're like, okay, this should be the guy.
Yeah.
And he looks like he is the guy. Then we went out there, he went out there, and we saw that he is.
Yeah.
And so I think the aura, a lot of it is attached to exactly what we saw. But I will point this out too, Lopez. Mm-hmm. They got a lot of guys like that now. Just like what I would call, and I think this is what you're saying, get off the bus types.
Yeah.
Like, they get off the bus and you're like, oh, wait a minute.
Yeah, that's a guy.
That's who we playing tonight? That's who on their team?
Yeah.
So, like, they got that. C.J. Stroud is kind of like that, I think, more so because of what we've seen.
And it's not a matter of, like, you know, size or imposing figure.
Another one.
You can just tell.
Another one. Stephon Diggs.
Oh, yeah.
And that's one, not an imposing figure, but when Stephon Diggs step off the bus, you're like, oh,
that guy?
They got Stephon Diggs on their team. Right? Like, so he's like that. And then Joe Mixon is that in the more traditional sense. Mm-hmm. And, like, you're like, oh, their running back is that tall, that big? Oh, and he's Joe Mixon? Like, so you got a lot of get off the bus type of dudes going into training camp and going into this season that I feel like it's just, man, it is a lot to be excited about, Lopez. I cannot wait to get over there and do radio with you. Figgy, you didn't give us your what's the thing that you are most looking forward to watching the training camp?
I really want to see the cornerback position. I kind of agree with Lopez, because Lassiter, their second round pick, I'm interested to see how they feel about him. If he can actually beat these guys out and be the number two, man, that would be a huge win for the Texans, because remember when they drafted him, we was kind of questioning his 4.6 speed and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And I figure he'll probably play nickel or something like that. But if he can win a job, man, that's a good thing.
To me, that's a no-brainer. that's it on the field.
So I would even go, like, I agree. Mm-hmm. I would even go beyond that, though. Like, that whole position group.
Yeah.
The whole cornerback. I'm talking about vibes. The whole cornerback vibe. Think about it. On the one side, Derek Stingley. Okay, and whoever he matches up against, mm-hmm. I'm gonna be locked in on Derek Stingley reps. So that's his own story.
Yeah.
But y'all are talking about Kamari Lassiter. Like, I'm picking him to win that job. I think I've done that already on the air. But they got other guys there too that I think they're gonna have to rely on at some point. And I've pointed this out. But like, we throw away the whole Jeff Okuda, CJ Henderson thing, and rightfully so, we get it. They flamed out in spots where they were expected to do a lot. So it's not like we're supposed to be expecting them to do a lot.
Yeah.
But when you're talking about going into training camp and the dudes that they have and the depth at that position.
Yeah, the bodies.
Oh, mm-hmm. Dude, the bodies at that position. And you want to talk about Texans history?
Yeah.
Like, looking back on what they've done at the cornerback position in the past, and now you're talking about former first-round picks as possible depth?
Yeah.
At the cornerback position, I cannot wait to watch the cornerbacks.
Yeah. I'll put it this way. I don't have high expectations for them, and I'm pulling for Lassiter because I think he's got that kind of upside.
It's more about watching him at camp for me. Not expectations, yeah. Just watching him at camp.
Yeah, but I will say this. There's a place for Henderson Okuda on this team.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. There's a place for them on this team.
I pretty much threw out the whole, that was a top five pick and all that, top 10.
Yeah, forget all of that.
I threw all that out.
Yeah, forget all of that.
Because last year, they clearly needed bodies. Mm-hmm. And I think now they have bodies. If that's somebody that could step up for injury, that's, you know, a second or third injury or something like that, I think that's a great thing.
Yeah.
Brandon Scott here with John Lopez and Figgy Fig on In the Loop. Coming up next, man, we got training camp coming up this week, man. I cannot wait. How much has the opinion of Nick Caserio changed in just a year? We'll talk about that next on In the Loop.
Figgy, let's hit him big time.
Houston, let's get in the loop.
Great day, great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
You're in the loop on Houston Sports Leader.
You know what I'm bringing today. Let's go.
Go to work.
Let's go.
Hey, Sam.
Sports Radio 610.
You know, Lopez, they say that it's sometimes better to be lucky than good.
Yeah.
I prefer to get both.
You're damn right.
You know, get lucky, be good, mix them in together.
Yeah.
And let the chips fall where they may. And I feel like that's what Texans general manager Nick Caserio has done.
Mm-hmm.
Had a little bit of luck. Also, a little bit of good mixed in there. And lo and behold here, the Texans are in this position that they're in now.
Yeah.
As AFC South champions, AFC South favorites, and all the things that we were talking about in the previous segment. It feels like forever ago. When Nick Caserio was at the podium over there at NRG Stadium, leaking confidence and acknowledging that the clock was ticking,
mm-hmm.
that basically they were going to have to, like they were running out of excuses,
yeah.
and they were going to have to show some results at some point. Like, gone were the days when they were going to be able to blame their position on Deshaun Watson or poor mm-hmm. coaching or whatever the issues were in the front office that were going on.
Yeah.
The influence on ownership, whatever the case may be, like mm-hmm. they needed results. And that was just a little over a year ago. Then they hired DeMeco Ryans.
Yeah.
You get CJ Stroud and Nick Caserio's got life. We acknowledge that this is DeMeco Ryans' team.
Mm-hmm.
This is CJ Stroud's team. But how much do you give Nick Caserio credit for how things have turned around and where the Texans are? Like, how much do you think at least the opinion of him has changed based off of the success that we've seen with DeMeco Ryans and CJ Stroud?
I think as much as what you just said is true, it is DeMeco's team. It is CJ Stroud's. I think the fact that we got here and we're so excited for day after tomorrow in training camp. I actually think the most credit should go to Nick Caserio. But let me explain it.
Wait. The most?
The most. Because let me explain it.
I've been saying that for a long time.
And I've, you know, you've heard me criticize Nick Caserio on particular little things.
The most. Okay, let's go.
But you've also heard, you know, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, I sat in this chair and I said, don't be fooled by what they're saying. You know, I always say, watch what they do, not what they say. And what he was doing, I sat right here and said it. He is ripping apart this team. He's creating salary cap. He's laying the foundation for whatever happens in the 2022 and 2023 seasons and drafts. You guys heard me. You can go back and listen to that. I saw him working. I was still criticizing him here and there. But the reason I say that you can give him the most credit is how many of us would have been able to sit in that chair with, as John McClain used to say, it's in his contract, you know, to have ultimate authority. How many of us with that authority and that power and that resume could sit there and say, you know what? If they need me to leave, I'm going to leave. When they bring in D'Amico Ryans, that's not my guy. And I think we can all agree on that. That wasn't his first choice. That was a, you know, an in unison, in conjunction with Cal and Hannah, let's look at D'Amico Ryans. Then he blew him away and they get it. So that's two things that he checked his ego on. And other people wouldn't have done it. I'm not so sure any of us would have done it. And then the third thing is he found a way to compromise with D'Amico Ryans. They work fantastic together. Like three steps of the way, this thing could have gone to hell. He could have stomped his feet. He could have said, no, no, no. Why'd you hire me? He could have left. He could have, you know, forced his way out. But instead, he was building this foundation. He checked his ego and he went with D'Amico Ryans. He checked his ego and said publicly, if they need me to leave, the new coach wants me to leave, I will step aside. And then he checked his ego again and found a way to be so compatible with D'Amico Ryans that this is one of the best, you know, situations between head coach and general manager in the entire NFL. So he deserves, I feel, not it's not his team. And by the way, he deserves credit for that, for knowing that it's not his team. It's not his team. It's D'Amico's team. It's CJ's team. But you got to give that guy a world of credit for checking his ego when a lot of people wouldn't have.
So the luck factor is the fact that D'Amico Ryans mm-hmm. had ties here and wanted to be here,
yeah.
which I think was very specific and unique to D'Amico Ryans. And I feel like Texans fans overall, but specific to this conversation,
yeah.
Nick Caserio benefited from that fact. And then that the Carolina Panthers did not draft C.J. Stroud and instead yeah. selected Bryce Young with the number one overall pick. See, I don't buy into the whole, hey, they got it right by losing that game and getting the number two overall pick. No, you got lucky.
Yeah, you did.
That still getting the number two overall pick, that the folks that got the first pick didn't get the first pick right.
Because yeah.
they could have very easily
just
selected C.J. Stroud. No, absolutely.
You know,
and he did make
you
a trade.
Made your luck, too.
You're talking about the Will Anderson
yeah.
trade. Yeah, no, absolutely. No, I think that part of it is luck. But then I think you got to give him credit for the very things that you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like one of the best things that he's done, and I don't think it's the best because he's made some savvy moves and some things that I feel like you got to give him legitimate
yeah.
credit for, like as a general manager, but just bird's eye view, broader picture.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like one of the smarter things that he did was get out of his own way.
Yes.
Or not be in his own
Check
way.
Check his ego.
Check his yeah. ego at mm-hmm. the door
mm-hmm.
and allow it to be D'Amico Ryans' team. Allow this blessing from the heavens that is the number two overall pick
yeah.
instead of the number one overall pick to work out for you in the way that it did. And to me, that is something that I think he absolutely deserves some credit for recognizing that.
Yeah, I also think, too, even with that number two overall pick, he could have easily been the type of GM that say, oh, CJ got a relationship with who now? And who was I dealing with at
yeah.
quarterback here? He could have easily been like, nah, let's wait to get another quarterback next year.
Or he could have preferred stuff. Will Anderson and stomped his feet about that.
Yeah, he couldn't have,
yeah.
he could have passed up on the quarterback, but he didn't.
Well, I think the biggest thing, this is kind of going back to the points you were making earlier, Lopez,
mm-hmm.
is that what we've learned about Nick Caserio over the last few years, which I don't think we could have said this definitively when he first got here,
because, yeah.
you know, he was coming from, like, we still had that, like, Patriot South kind of
mm-hmm.
stigma.
He checked that.
Is he a,
yeah.
is he more of a, like, a Belichick type?
Mm-hmm.
Or, like, well, how is he going to be kind of a more of a dictator? And then they hire a guy that doesn't really seem serious. And so is this what he's about? Like,
yeah.
only wanting to hire flunkies? What we realized is that he's much more of a collaborator than I think we were going to give him credit
yes,
for in the
and,
beginning.
And you're 100% right. The NFL, more so than other industries, is rife with enormous egos. Like, there were a lot, I think the vast majority, 90+%, 95+% of general managers would have stormed into the McNair's office and said, why the hell did you hire me then? You know, or something along those lines. He didn't. He said, I hear you, you know, and I'm willing to work here. I'm willing to not work here if you feel that's best. I'm willing to work with D'Amico. I can get along with D'Amico. And lo and behold, I think they get along great. I think they're on the same page when it comes to, or at least have a good relationship in terms of mixing it up on personnel, on even the things that they're doing on the field. I'm glad you brought this up, because we've all been critical of Nick Caserio here and there, but as you sit here today and you saw the work he was doing before D'Amico Ryans was even a dream, and before this team being good was even a dream, to now, that dude has been at the center of it all.
Yeah. I like how he never took anything personal too, man, because you know, you see the stuff he kind of dealt with Steven Nelson and all that. Yep. He could have easily said, all right, I'll get you out of here, where you want to go, but he didn't. And Steven Nelson actually had a good year last year. He got the best out of Steven Nelson. He worked it out. He didn't let the emotions get to him and all that stuff. So I really like that about Nick Caserio.
Yeah, I asked the question earlier of how has the opinion on Nick Caserio changed over the last year. I would say for me, going into last year, it was, hey, a lot of prove it, wait and see. Hey, this looks good. It looks like it's going to work out. But now Nick Caserio gets to go in just as we were talking about everybody else, like sort of established with a certain level of benefit of the doubt that I think is honestly earned. And I would say that he deserves more credit than I was willing to give him, you know, maybe in the first 2 years of the rebuild. And maybe it was just the shocking part of what we were going through at that time. It was like, man, what is this going into training camp?
Yeah.
Like, what is this squad? What is this collection of guys that they put together? And now you're like, oh, they traded for Stephon Diggs. They signed Danielle Hunter. They traded for Joe Mixon.
Yeah.
Oh, but that's also rooted in some luck of having a guy like D'Amico Ryans want to be here.
Yeah.
And being able to draft C.J. Stroud. So I think that's a big part of it. He's John Lopez. I am Brandon Scott here with Figgy Fig. Coming up next, we'll do our barrel check, and the Home Run Derby had some local ties. We'll talk about that next on In the Loop.
We're making the stories from outside the loop matter to you. This is Localize It.
Don't you know I'm local?
You're in the loop on Houston's Sports Leader. Sports Radio 610.
I can't lie to you, Lopez.
Mm-hmm.
The Scott family, we abandoned our residence. We abandoned our place, man. It's a bando now.
Yeah.
It's a band. Y'all can go in there and trap now if you want to, because we ain't in there no more, man. That's my barrel check of the day.
Yeah.
And I want to do a barrel check for the loopholes and with you guys.
Yeah.
See how y'all doing, how y'all living. Because I talked to some people yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Who are still without power and are expecting to be without power. Today is Tuesday as we talk, right?
Yeah.
Tuesday.
Yeah.
Expecting to be without power until Friday.
Yeah.
And then there is some term out there, I'm not going to nerd out on it, but some term out there called nested outages.
Dude, talk to Sean Bajani about that.
Yeah. No, it's out there. It's out there at East Street. Yeah, Sean Bajani. Yeah. There you go. There's another example. So there are folks out here still suffering. Let me be honest with you, man. I don't even know what my situation is because I lost my patience. I got tired of waiting on the lights to come on. And the fact that I got another house that I rented that does have lights that's a mile and a half away.
Yeah.
And I just fled.
Dude.
How y'all living?
My daughter and son-in-law are still staying with us. They still
are they really?
Don't have power. Yes.
Your daughter and your son-in-law?
Yeah. Still.
Wow.
To this day.
How long has that been?
Monday, so 8 days.
Yeah, so since everything happened.
Yeah, so eight days. And they're one of those ones that are not supposed to have it till Friday, although he texted the family and said, I'm hearing today. Well, I mean, you know, you can't rely on any of that.
You know who else without power that been complaining a lot? Paul Wall.
I saw that.
My man been complaining, man.
Yeah. Paul Wall still doesn't have power.
What?
Yeah.
What? Paul Wall?
Paul Wall.
Somebody get on the case.
And look, we're past the point of, you know, bitching and moaning and all that stuff.
Oh, it's just ridiculous.
Everybody in the city knows.
It's unacceptable.
Center point lists, all that stuff. Everybody knows.
Come on,
everybody knows they're the problem. Their vision was not. They didn't have any vision. They're you know, sort of putting out flames, so to speak. It's not the workers. It's the leadership. We all know what the story is. We're just beaten down now, man. I mean, like my poor daughter, like living out of a suitcase, you know, and working at Texas Children's Hospital, you know, with cancer patients and all that.
She still got to work.
And having to go all that and do all that stuff. I mean, it's just ridiculous.
One of the things that hit me last week, Lopez, thinking about all of this, was when I read a story about, and we saw all of the flooding, the stalled vehicles, and just the images around town of how much rain it was. And we saw, I would say, significant flooding.
Mm-hmm.
But our flood system, for the most part, maybe we're grading on the curve here a little bit, it for the most part
it
bounced back and held up for the most part. There are people with damage, but this was not as much of a significant flood event. And we see the downed trees, and we lost some life, and we understand like the devastation of it.
Yeah.
But like the level of like the, I feel like the level of losing power, mm-hmm, to me, it like far surpasses the significance of what it should have been.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Like this seems to be the part of it that was avoidable.
Yes,
right. I guess that's my point.
That's avoidable.
The part of flooding that we got, the wind, the debris,
is going to happen.
Those aspects of it that we got seem to be unavoidable and understandable.
Yeah.
This whole power situation feels like it is beyond excuses.
Yeah. I mean, and we knew, look, we're not ignorant. We said this when you and I were going off on this last Tuesday. We understand there's going to be power outage. We understand there's going to be, you know, flooding and issues. Not for 8 days.
8 days.
8 days.
Past that, now.
Yeah, it's going to be more than that.
If you're one of those people who's either under this nested outage, or you're going to have your power out until Friday, that's going to be way more than 8 days. It's going to be closer to 10, 11 days.
It's sad, man. Mm-hmm. It's really sad, man. And this is the part of the summer where it's extremely hot, man.
Yeah.
It's tough, man.
Yeah, and I feel bad about complaining about something that I don't actually myself know or understand the complexities of to have a solution. Like, I'm going to acknowledge that on the front end. I can't run this city. I don't exactly know.
But we know there is a solution.
Or that somebody, whoever is in charge of having those solutions, mm-hmm, failed in a tremendous way.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, I'm not in charge of that, right? Mm-hmm. But whoever is failed in a tremendous way. I saw somebody mention this or ask this question about, like, hey, native Houstonians, how do you feel about Houston post-Beryl? I'm like, yo, I mean, I'm from here. I still love the city, but this appears to me to be like this amazing place that feels like it's poorly run.
Yeah.
Like, that's how it feels.
Yeah, it felt like it's fixable. Like, absolutely. It felt like we can fix something with this.
100%.
Yeah, man. I did take some, like, escape last night in the Home Run Derby. And I know you were really into the Derby last night. It has some local ties. Teoscar Hernandez, former Astro.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Yeah, I also think, too, even with that number two overall pick, he could have easily been the type of GM that say, oh, CJ got a relationship with who now? And who was I dealing with at quarterback here? He could have easily been like, nah, let's wait to get another quarterback next year.
Or he could have preferred stuff. Will Anderson and stomped his feet about that.
Yeah, he couldn't have, he could have passed up on the quarterback, but he didn't.
Well, I think the biggest thing, this is kind of going back to the points you were making earlier, Lopez, is that what we've learned about Nick Caserio over the last few years, which I don't think we could have said this definitively when he first got here, because you know, he was coming from, like, we still had that, like, Patriot South kind of stigma.
He checked that.
Is he more of a, like, a Belichick type? Or, like, well, is he going to be kind of a more of a dictator? And then they hire a guy that doesn't really seem serious. And so is this what he's about? Like, only wanting to hire flunkies? What we realized is that he's much more of a collaborator than I think we were going to give him credit for in the beginning.
And you're 100% right. The NFL, more so than other industries, is rife with enormous egos. Like, there were a lot, I think the vast, vast majority, 95+% of general managers would have stormed into the McNair's office and said, why the hell did you hire me then? You know, or something along those lines. He didn't. He said, I hear you, you know, and I'm willing to work here. I'm willing to not work here if you feel that's best. I'm willing to work with D'Amico. I can get along with D'Amico. And lo and behold, I think they get along great. I think they're on the same page when it comes to, or at least have a good relationship in terms of mixing it up on personnel, on even the things that they're doing on the field. I'm glad you brought this up, because we've all been critical of Nick Caserio here and there. But as you sit here today and you saw the work he was doing before D'Amico Ryans was even a dream, and before this team being good was even a dream, to now, that dude has been at the center of it all.
Yeah. I like how he never took anything personal, too, man, because, you know, you see the stuff he kind of dealt with, Steven Nelson and all that. He could have easily said, all right, I'll get you out of here, where you want to go, but he didn't. And Steven Nelson actually had a good year last year. He got the best out of Steven Nelson. He worked it out. He didn't let the emotions get to him and all that stuff. So I really like that about Nick Caserio.
Yeah, I asked the question earlier of how has the opinion on Nick Caserio changed over the last year. I would say for me, going into last year, it was, hey, a lot of prove it, wait and see. Hey, this looks good. It looks like it's going to work out. But now Nick Caserio gets to go in, just as we were talking about everybody else, like a sort of establishment, a certain level of benefit of the doubt that I think is honestly earned. And I would say that he deserves more credit than I was willing to give him. You know, maybe in the first 2 years of the rebuild, and maybe it was just the shocking part of what we were going through at that time. It was like, man, what is this going into training camp? Like, what is this squad? What is this collection of guys that they put together? And now you're like, oh, they traded for Stephon Diggs, they signed Danielle Hunter, they traded for Joe Mixon. Oh, but that's also rooted in some luck of having a guy like D'Amico Ryans want to be here. And being able to draft C.J. Stroud. So I think that's a big part of it. He's John Lopez. I am Brandon Scott here with Figgy Fig. Coming up next, we'll do our barrel check, and the Home Run Derby had some local ties. We'll talk about that next on In the Loop.
We're making the stories from outside the loop.
matter to you. This is Localize It.
Don't you know I'm local?
You're in the loop on Houston's sports leader. Sports Radio 610.
I can't lie to you, Lopez. Mm-hmm. The Scott family, we abandoned our residence. We abandoned our place, man. It's a bando now.
Yeah.
Y'all can go in there and trap now if you want to. Because we ain't in there no more, man. That's my barrel check of the day.
Yeah.
And I want to do a barrel check for the loopholes and with you guys.
Yeah.
See how y'all doing, how y'all living. Because I talked to some people yesterday,
mm-hmm.
okay, who are still without power and are expecting to be without power. Today is Tuesday as we talk, right?
Yeah.
Tuesday.
Yeah.
Expecting to be without power.
Mm-hmm.
Until Friday.
Yeah.
And then there is some term out there, I'm not going to nerd out on it, but called nested outages.
Dude, talk to Sean Bajani about that.
Yeah. No, it's out there. In these streets. Yeah, Sean Bajani. Yeah. There you go. There's another example. So there are folks out here still suffering. Let me be honest with you, man. I don't even know what my situation is because I lost my patience. I got tired of waiting on the lights to come on. And the fact that I got another house that I rented that does have lights that's a mile and a half away.
Yeah.
And I just fled.
Dude.
How y'all living?
My daughter and son-in-law are still staying with us. They still
Are they really?
Have power. Yes.
Your daughter and your son-in-law.
Yeah. Still.
Wow.
To this day.
How long has that been?
Monday, so 8 days.
Yeah, so since everything happened.
Yeah, so eight days. And they're one of those ones that are not supposed to have it till Friday, although he texted the family and said, I'm hearing today. Well, I mean, you know, you can't rely on it.
You know who else without power that been complaining a lot? Paul Wall.
I saw that.
My man been complaining, man.
Yeah. Paul Wall still doesn't have power.
What?
Yeah.
What? Paul Wall?
Paul Wall.
Somebody
man.
Get on the case.
And look, we are beyond, we're past the point of, you know, bitching and moaning and all that stuff.
Oh,
it's
just ridiculous.
Everybody in the city knows.
It's unacceptable.
Center point lists, all that stuff. Everybody knows. Everybody knows they're the problem. Their vision was not. They didn't have any vision. They're you know, sort of putting out flames, so to speak. It's not the workers. It's the leadership. We all know what the story is. We're just beaten down now, man. I mean, like my poor daughter, like living out of a suitcase, you know, and working at Texas Children's Hospital, you know, with cancer patients and all that.
She still got to work.
And having to go all that and do all that stuff. I mean, it's just ridiculous.
One of the things that hit me last week, Lopez, thinking about all of this, was when I read a story about, and we saw all of the flooding, the stalled vehicles, and just the images around town of how much rain it was. And we saw, I would say, significant flooding.
Mm-hmm.
But our flood system, for the most part, maybe we're grading on the curve here a little bit, it for the most part
it
bounced back and held up for the most part. There are people with damage, but this was not as much of a significant flood event. And we see the downed trees and we lost some life. And we understand, like, the devastation of it.
Yeah.
But, like, the level of losing power to me, it like far surpasses the significance of what it should have been.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Like this seems to be the part of it that was avoidable.
Yes,
right. I guess that's my point.
That is way avoidable.
The part of flooding that we got, the wind, the
which
the,
you understand
the debris,
is gonna happen.
Those aspects of it that we got seem to be unavoidable and understandable.
Yeah.
This whole power situation feels like it is beyond excuses.
Yeah. I mean, and we knew, look, we're not ignorant. We said this when you and I were going off on this last Tuesday. We understand there's going to be power outage. We understand there's going to be, you know, flooding and issues. Not for 8 days.
8 days.
8 days.
Past that now.
Yeah, it's going to be more than that.
If you're one of those people who's either under this nested outage, or you're going to have your power out until Friday, that's going to be way more than 8 days. It's going to be closer to 10, 11 days.
It's sad, man. Mm-hmm. It's really sad, man. And this is the part of the summer where it's extremely hot, man.
Yeah.
It's tough, man.
Yeah. And I feel bad about complaining about something that I don't actually myself know or understand the complexities of to have a solution. Like, I'm going to acknowledge that on the front end. I can't run this city. I don't exactly know.
But we know there is a solution.
Or that somebody, whoever is in charge of having those solutions, failed in a tremendous way.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, I'm not in charge of that, right? Mm-hmm. But whoever is failed in a tremendous way. I saw somebody mention this or ask this question about, like, hey, native Houstonians, how do you feel about Houston post-Beryl? And I'm like, yo, I mean, I'm from here. I still love the city, but this appears to me to be like this amazing place that feels like it's poorly run.
Yeah.
Like, that's how it feels.
Yeah, it felt like it's fixable. Like, absolutely. It felt like we can fix something with this.
100%.
Yeah, man. I did take some like escape last night in the Home Run Derby. And I know you were really into the Derby last night. It has some local ties. Teoscar Hernandez,
yeah.
former Astro prospect. For me, Lopez, mm-hmm. honestly, one that kind of got away. I feel like he's one that got away. We didn't know it or think about it at the time when the Astros traded him for Francisco Liriano in 2017 ahead of winning the World Series.
Yeah.
But for me, he's kind of one that got away. It had local ties.
Not only one that got away, and I think we all have these moments to different degrees. That moment in your life where something happened and you shot off in a different direction. Had that one thing not happened, what would have happened? Now, obviously, I'm pretty sure nobody in this room is regretting anything that's happened in our lives because we're here and we're happy and all that. But we can all point to some things in your life that had that one thing not happened, where would we be? How would things have been different? That's what I thought of with Teoscar Hernandez last night because, dude, he played one game in the 2017 season for the Astros. One game. And got hurt in a brutal collision with Jose Altuve. And then 2 months later was traded. That dude is a baller. I mean, he's a two-time All-Star now. He's the Home Run Derby champion. Could you imagine? How would things have been different?
So, for me, I think about this quite a bit now because mm-hmm. I'm like, maybe Teoscar Hernandez is gone from the Astros at this point.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think about adding him or having him on, say, the 2019 Astros or the 2020 Astros that struggled in the COVID year out of the gate or the 2021 Astros that went to the World Series but lost to Atlanta. Like, I do think about, hey, what would it have been like if your outfield situation, because here's the reality of it, Lopez. Mm-hmm. You traded for Francisco Liriano, who basically gave you next to nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And the key trade that you made that put you over the top was not related to Teoscar Hernandez. Now, who knows? Maybe he would have had to have been a part of that deal to get Justin Verlander. And it's likely that's a...
But he would have been in 17.
That's a possibility. Like, it's... It does make you wonder, hey, what if you still had this guy in your outfield because he's probably a better option than, say, like a Chaz McCormick.
Yes, exactly. So for those who don't remember the details of it, he was an Astros prospect, got called up in, I believe it was April 25th in 2017, early in what would be their world championship, first world championship season, and this happened.
Ball is in the shallow right center field. Teoscar Hernandez and Altuve, they collide.
Really just hoping right now it's incidental contact. Altuve popping up, which is a very good sign. You want to see Teoscar pop up too. Teoscar does not look good at all.
No, AJ's going to help him. No, they're not even going to try and move him here. Going to call for the cart and the stretcher. That's not good.
Marwin Gonzalez has laced up his spikes. He knows he's going in, but I can't imagine a worse scenario. You see a franchise player and Altuve take a shot. Hernandez has to be carted off. And while we talk so much about this team being shorthanded, a couple of times having to give up their DH and put the pitcher in the game and having a short bench, you lose potentially two players on one crazy play.
Man.
Yeah. Yeah, and now he did play for them in 2016 a little bit.
Yeah.
He did have a cup of coffee with him in 2016, but that was his only appearance in 2017. Mm-hmm. And you're right, man. What if that goes differently, really from the standpoint of, like, if Altuve is the one that is more so on the business end? Like,
imagine that?
If you look at that, Altuve basically collides.
He got hit in the neck.
Well, right into his shoulder. Mm-hmm. chest, close to the kind of that upper shoulder area.
Yeah.
And like if Altuve, really also how much of a tank Altuve is for a 5'5 dude.
Be able to handle that. I mean, that was a vicious collision.
Oh, a vicious collision. Yeah. You know what also stood out to me watching that, Lopez? I was telling you this earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Teoscar Hernandez in 2017, wearing number 35 for the Astros.
who wears that jersey?
That was quite an image, man.
And they traded for Verlander that year.
Like, to me, it was one thing remembering Teoscar Hernandez played for the Astros and thinking about, hey, what could have been, what was, and all of that. But, like, him wearing the 35 and that now being the Verlander number, that was probably the most striking part for me watching that video.
Yeah, just the whole thing. I mean, it was a moment in time that changed the course for him. By the way, he did get a World Series ring. The next year, he came in with Toronto. So I'm guessing he got a World Series share. He was with the club in, like you said, he was with 16, but in 17, he was with the club for like about a month and a half, not counting spring training, but only played in the one game.
Yeah, he's probably thinking, hey, what if I didn't lay out? I mean, maybe that was an inspiring moment for the clubhouse. Who knows? Yeah. What if I didn't lay out for that ball? Also, Altuve.
Yeah.
He's probably doing the right thing because he probably didn't get the communication from Teoscar that he needed on that play. Mm-hmm. But Altuve hauling ass all the way from second base.
All the way to right field.
Yo, man. you get paid to field ground balls.
Yes, sir.
And the right fielder gets paid to catch fly balls. Let him do that. Coming up next on In the Loop, we get you ready for Texans training camp with our camp crushes. Don't miss it.
Now, obviously, I'm pretty sure nobody in this room is regretting anything that's happened in our lives because we're here and we're happy and all that. But we can all point to some things in your life that had that one thing not happened, where would we be? How would things have been different? That's what I thought of with Teoscar Hernandez last night because, dude, he played one game in the 2017 season for the Astros. One game. And got hurt in a brutal collision with Jose Altuve. And then 2 months later was traded. That dude is a baller. I mean, he's a two-time All-Star now. He's the Home Run Derby champion. Could you imagine? How would things have been different?
So for me, I think about this quite a bit now because I'm like, maybe Teoscar Hernandez is gone from the Astros at this point.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think about adding him or having him on, say, the 2019 Astros or the 2020 Astros that struggled in the COVID year out of the gate or the 2021 Astros that went to the World Series but lost to Atlanta. Like, I do think about, hey, what would it have been like if your outfield situation, because here's the reality of it, Lopez. Mm-hmm. You traded for Francisco Liriano, who basically gave you next to nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And the key trade that you made that put you over the top was not related to Teoscar Hernandez. Now, who knows? Maybe he would have had to have been a part of that deal to get Justin Verlander. And it's likely that that's a...
But he would have been in 17.
That's a possibility. Like, it does make you wonder, hey, what if you still had this guy in your outfield because he's probably a better option than, say, like a Chaz McCormick?
Yes, exactly. So for those who don't remember the details of it, he was an Astros prospect, got called up in, I believe it was April 25th in 2017, early in what would be their world championship, first world championship season, and this happened.
Ball is in the shallow right center field. Teoscar Hernandez and Altuve, they collide.
Really just hoping right now it's incidental contact. Altuve popping up, which is a very good sign. You want to see Teoscar pop up too. Teoscar does not look good at all.
No, AJ's going to help him. No, they're not even going to try and move him here. Going to call for the cart and the stretcher.
That's not good.
As Marwin Gonzalez has laced up his spikes, he knows he's going in, but I can't imagine a worse scenario. You see a franchise player and Altuve take a shot. Hernandez has to be carted off. And while we talk so much about this team being shorthanded, a couple of times having give up their DH and put the pitcher in the game and having a short bench, you lose potentially two players on one crazy play.
Man.
Yeah, yeah. And now he did play for them in 2016 a little bit.
Yeah.
He did have a cup of coffee with him in 2016, but that was his only appearance in 2017. Mm-hmm. And you're right, man. What if that goes differently, really from the standpoint of, like, if Altuve is the one that is more so on the business end? Like, if you look at that, Altuve basically collides.
He got hit in the neck.
Well, right into his, like, his shoulder, mm-hmm. chest, close to the kind of that upper shoulder area.
Yeah.
And like, if Altuve, really also how much of a tank Altuve is for a 5'5 dude.
Be able to handle that. I mean, that was a vicious collision.
Oh, a vicious collision. Yeah. You know what also stood out to me watching that, Lopez? I was telling you this earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Teoscar Hernandez in 2017 wearing number 35 for the Astros.
who wears that jersey?
That was quite an image, man.
And they traded for Verlander that year.
Like, yeah. To me, it was one thing remembering Teoscar Hernandez played for the Astros and thinking about, hey, what could have been, what was, and all of that. But, like, him wearing the 35,
yeah,
and that now being the Verlander number, that was probably the most striking part for me watching that video.
Yeah, just the whole thing. I mean, it was a moment in time that changed the course for him. By the way, he did get a World Series ring. The next year, he came in with Toronto. So I'm guessing he got a World Series share. He was with the club in, like you said, he was with 16, but in 17, he was with the club for like about a month and a half, not counting spring training, but only played in the one game.
Yeah, he's probably thinking, hey, what if I didn't lay out?
Yeah.
I mean, maybe that was an inspiring moment for the clubhouse. Who knows? Yeah. What if I didn't lay out for that ball? Also, Altuve.
Yeah.
He's probably doing the right thing because he probably didn't get the communication from Teoscar that he needed on that play. Mm-hmm. But Altuve hauling ass all the way from
all
second base.
All the way to right field.
Yo, man. you get paid to field ground balls.
Yes, sir.
And the right fielder gets paid to catch fly balls. Let him do that. Coming up next on In the Loop, we get you ready for Texans training camp with our camp crushes. Don't miss it.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!